Episode 3, Three Wise Guys, by Scott Allen Evans and Jeffrey Couchman. Based on the short stories Dancing Dan's Christmas and The Three Wise Guys by Damon Runyon. Welcome to Hear Play Audio Theatre. My name is Simon Jones. So, after another narrow escape, our three guys are at last on their way to PA. But what is it that awaits them there? And why is the Dutchman so insistent on that particular destination? And can it be that Heini Schmitz has met his equal in Bitsy Albright? And will there be any happy surprises to greet our characters on Christmas morning? So many questions. The answers are in Episode 3 and the conclusion of Three Wise Guys.
Our wondrous star in the sky shines even more brightly on the hood of the sleek black Studebaker as it barrels down the roadway toward PA. The Dutchman is behind the wheel, Dancing Dan is in the passenger seat, and Blondie sits in the back pouring an amber liquid into paper cups from what looks like a medicine bottle. It has started to snow.
Round the fields we go, laughing all the way, ha ha ha, bells on bobtails ring. Making this thing bright, what fun it is to sing and laugh our sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey! Hey! Another round?
Dutchman?
Thank you. We'll have just one more. I am driving, after all.
And for you, Dancing Dan.
Thank you. Hey, here is to Heini Schmitz.
I hope he does not miss us too much.
To Heini!
Besides Hot Tom and Jerry, I think rock candy and rye whiskey is the best drink for Christmas Eve.
I just wish we'd buy more rock candy.
Well, rock candy and rye whiskey, without the rock candy, is still not a bad drink.
If only Dixie's drugstore does not run out of rock candy. We could go down the block to Dillmore's, but you are back too quick, Dancing Dan.
What do I tell you? Just one quick errand. In and out, and it is done.
How much longer, Dutchman?
Not long now.
Good, because we are almost out of rye whiskey.
Why do you not buy more of this second ingredient?
We buy it from Dixie for medicinal purposes.
Doc Morgs writes the prescription for me last year for my rheumatism, in case I ever happen to get any rheumatism.
Dixie says we can only buy two bottles at a time on the prescription. But I never hear this rule before.
I think this is a Christmas Eve rule, because on Christmas Eve, Dixie runs a high-stakes card game in the back, and it is attended by many thirsty players who will be disappointed if they cannot quench the thirst. And they are not such citizens as Dixie wants to disappoint.
You know, seeing these little villages all lit up for Christmas and the holly wreaths on the doors.
Are we anywhere near Akron?
Somehow it makes me think of holidays back in Frisco. My old man would set up a tree in the front parlor and all the girls would sing carols around Skinny Weller's piano.
I know what you mean. I get a little homesick too. Of course, even if I am home, the chances are I will not be seeing any Christmas trees. Hey!
Are you sure you know where you're going? This appears to be an untraveled road.
I know I am on the right road. I'm following the big star you see up ahead.
I do not see a star.
I remember seeing this star always in front of me when I'm going along this road before.
When are you on this road before?
Where is this star?
Oh, I am on this road some 8 or 9 months ago, on the night of the heist.
The heist?
Well, you see, here's the thing. About 8 or 9 months ago, I am mobbed up with Jimmy Bates, a very classy, heavy guy. And we make quite a good thing going around knocking off safes and small-town jugs and post offices.
This is once quite a popular custom in this country.
And so the two of you are on this road?
Yes. A party Jimmy knows gives him a tip about a big payroll and a safe at a factory, and we come here to Pennsylvania. About 9 months ago, the safe is one of the new kind. The factory is up to date, and they do okay. This new brand of safe is a lot of bother, but I do not mind the bother, and so for I and Jimmy, it is a very prosperous business. The payroll amounts to maybe 50 G's, and I and Jimmy are thinking this is the easiest money we make yet. Then a nosy office guy in the gendarmes butt in, and they wish to speak with us. It does not go well. But with one thing and another, Jimmy is cooled off. I managed to get away, but I am shot up some, and it is not easy moving across the countryside. 50 G's in a gripsack is a heavy load. and there is no chance I can keep lugging it around. So I come to an old, deserted barn, and I hide the gripsack where no curious passerby will find it. In the meantime, I make my way to New Brunswick and lay up at my uncle's place until my wounds heal. This takes considerable time, as I cannot take it nowadays the way I can when I am younger. I figure to go back one day and pick up the bag with all the money, but every time I think about going back to the old barn, I run out of confidence. And though I need this dough most bad, I cannot get myself to head back to PA alone. This is what happens when you commence to get old. So I figure it might be a good idea to bring somebody else in to help me, and I'm still figuring this when we all meet up at Good Time Charlie's and Heine walks in.
So you are taking us to this old barn now?
Where you have hidden the dough.
Mm-hmm.
What is your proposition, Dutchman?
Well, I'm willing to make an even split three ways.
One third of 50 G's is by no means pretzels in these times. I would gladly assist you in this enterprise.
Yes, this appeals to me as a legitimate proposition, because there is no doubt this dough is coming to you. And from now on, I am strictly legit.
Let us seal the matter with one final drink of rock candy and rye whiskey without the rock candy.
Cheers!
In your eye!
Hey, now I see the star.
No, that is no star. It is a light in the window of that barn.
Well, this looks very much like my old barn, but my barn does not call for a light in it.
Let us investigate this matter.
Wait! Wait a minute! Let us not go in yet. Let us look through the window first.
Say, who is that doll?
Does she live here?
There was no doll living here before.
If she does, she certainly knows about the money and the gripsack.
There was nobody here.
If she finds 50 G's, I do not think she will still be living in a barn.
Shh. This appears to be a very sick doll.
Listen. The chances are that her ever-loving husband or someone is in town or maybe over to the nearest neighbors digging up assistance and we'll be back in a jiffy. I propose we lay low and wait to see what happens.
Hey, you can see from the snow that no one has been in or out of this barn for a good long time. And only a bounder and a cad will walk away from a sick doll, especially a sick doll who is a total stranger to him. In fact, it will take a very large heel to do such a thing. The idea is for us to see if we can do anything for this sick doll.
I will go in with you, Blondie.
Let us all go in.
And indeed, into the barn the three guys go. The interior of the long-neglected place is lit by a solitary lantern hanging from a post by the window. There's a table and a chair and a small tin stove giving off too little heat. Across the room is a manger, and beside the manger is a makeshift bed, and in the bed is a young doll who is groaning in a very distressing way. When she hears the guys come in, she half rises up and looks at them.
Blondie Swanson?
Miss Clarabelle Cobb?
This is more than a sick doll.
This is Miss Clarabelle Cobb.
Well, we have quite a delicate situation here. I must request you guys to step outside.
No. This is Miss Clarabelle Cobb.
What we really need for this case is a doctor, but it is too late to send for one. I will endeavor to do the best I can under the circumstances.
Come on, Blondie. Let us do as the Dutchman says. Hmm?
This is Miss Clarabelle Cobb.
Do not worry about anything, Blondie. You will be just fine, miss. I am maybe a little out of practice since my old lady puts her checks back in the rack, but she leaves 8 kids alive and kicking. And I bring them all in except one because we are seldom able to afford a croaker. Dancing Dan, get him out of here!
Let us go, Blondie. Just outside.
Come on! Everything is going to be all right, miss. Now just lay back.
So, Blondie, you okay?
I hear Miss Clarabelle Cobb gets married to a legitimate guy. And what I want to know is, where is this legitimate guy right now?
I wish I knew. I myself would give him a piece of my mind.
If Miss Clarabelle Cobb were my ever-loving wife, I would not be absent at a time like this.
Well, you are here now.
Dancing Dan, I never tell anybody this. But 6 years ago, this very night, I make a big mistake. The biggest mistake of my life.
Yes, a night like this gets you thinking. You believe in miracles? Yeah, I mean, second chances.
What do you mean?
I mean, look at me. If I do not put on that Santa Claus suit back at Good Time Charlie's, I would be very dead right now. But here I am, alive and kicking. And here is this new little baby waiting to get born. And here is Miss Clarabelle Cobb. And here you are.
Yeah?
Well, it gets you thinking.
You know what I am thinking?
What?
I am thinking I am going to take care of this little baby that is getting itself born.
This is a very noble gesture, Blondie.
I will watch over this baby. I will be like a godfather to her and see that she gets a proper start in life. It is a night for second chances.
And you know what it is got me thinking?
What?
I am thinking what it would be like to have a little nipper of my own. A girl that looks like Miss Muriel O'Neill, or a boy that looks like me.
Hey, one thing sure, your kid will be a good dancer. And Miss Clarabelle Cobb's little girl will be a beauty, like her mom. Blondie! Dancing Dan! Let's go in. Dutchman, is everything all right?
It is a boy.
A boy?
Yes, Blondie. A very healthy boy.
A real Darboroo.
This baby is a great credit to you in every respect, Dutchman.
Furthermore, the mama is doing as well as can be expected. She is as strong a doll as I ever see.
Oh, thank you.
When we go through town, we will send back a croaker just to make sure there are no complications, hmm?
Okay, but I guarantee the croaker will not have much to do.
Gents, I would like to speak to Miss Clarabelle Cobb.
Yes. Follow me, Dancing Dan.
Blondie, I don't suppose I should even ask what you are doing here.
I cannot blame you for thinking the worst, but the honest truth is, I am here to help a friend on a legitimate business enterprise. I put the old days behind me.
This is the spot.
Where you hid the grip sack?
Help me lift these floorboards. There it is.
Ha-ha!
Just as I left it.
Shh, keep your voice down.
Oh!
Right.
I never thought I would see you again, Blondie.
After you take a run out, after you go back to Akron, Ohio, I promise myself I will pack up hauling wet goods and look you up and marry you.
I was waiting, Blondie, and hoping. I waited a long time.
I keep putting it off and putting it off, and then one day I hear you marry a legitimate guy in Akron, Ohio.
Yes, Joseph Hatcher. You would like him.
If he treats you wrong, I will not like him much.
Oh, no, he's very good to me. Of course, he never tried to give me presents like diamond bracelets and fur coats.
You never accept one gift from me.
I enjoyed all the flowers and the candy, but I couldn't keep those other things. No nice girl could. You know, when I returned that sable coat that very cold day, the girls in the dressing room said there is a limit even to eccentricity.
You was always a nice girl. From the day I hear you are married, I never look at another doll. Or anyway, not much.
I'm sorry I left without saying goodbye in person.
Well, I got your letter. And who knows? It could be you do the right thing. But why is your ever-loving husband not here? Where is this Joseph Hatcher anyhow?
Oh, Blondie, my Joseph is in big trouble.
Who is in big trouble?
Her Joseph. What does he pull?
No, he did not do anything. That's the trouble. You see, Joseph is a bookkeeper, and we were so happy in Akron. And then his firm sent him out here to Pennsylvania, and now he's in jail, but he didn't do anything.
He is framed?
Yes! His trial is coming up, and they say it is an open and shut case, but it is all a lie. I've tried everything to get him out. I spent every dime of our money, and I had to move out of our house.
How do you end up here?
Doc Kelton. He took good care of us when we were sick last year. He's letting me stay here. This is his barn. He has a wife and 9 children. There's no room in the house.
Tell me what happens with Joseph Hatcher.
Oh, it's a terrible story. I don't know how we'll ever recover. It all happened one night about 9 months ago. My Joseph is working late in his office. He's a very dedicated worker. That's why they brought him out here. He thinks he's the only one in the factory, but he hears voices in the next room and goes to investigate. He sees 2 robbers. He tries to stop them, but they hit him on the head and tie him up in his office. The factory has a brand new safe, and when my Joseph comes to, he hears the robbers blow it up. Even though he's tied up, he struggles to break his bonds. My Joseph is very athletic. You would not think it to look at him. It is surprising in a bookkeeper. He manages to get free and calls the police. They arrive just in time. One of the robbers gets shot. But the other one gets away with the money, and they never find him. My Joseph should be a hero for putting his life in danger and trying to save the day, but instead he's in jail. And it's all because the factory foreman, a man by the name of Ambersham, starts spreading a rotten lie about my Joseph.
Can you state your full name, please?
You know me, Ernie. Why do I have to...
It's for the record, Arnold.
Oh, right. Okay. Arnold Spencer Ambersham, factory foreman.
Thank you, Mr. Ambersham. So you think that Joseph Hatcher was in on the heist?
Of course he was. I'm telling you, this was an inside job. How else could these hoodlums have known about the payroll in the safe? Pretending to get knocked out and tied up and then calling the police was all part of Hatcher's plan.
Uh-huh.
See what I mean? I mean, what do we really know about this man? He's a stranger here. He's not one of us. He's from Ohio.
So am I, Arnold.
It was just bad luck for Hatcher that the robbers were a mite too slow and were still in the room when our town's fine officers of the law arrived.
Ah, thanks.
He won't get his share of the loot now. But I hope and pray that he will receive the full weight of the justice he so richly deserves.
And now Joseph is behind bars awaiting trial, and everybody thinks he's guilty, and they all say the judge will throw the book at him.
Hey, what is all this?
It's all right, Doc.
Who are you guys? Get out of my barn!
Hey, hold your horses, pal.
You're the doc?
Yes, I'm her doctor, and this is my barn. Clarabelle, are you all right?
Yes, we're fine. Everything's just fine. This is an old friend of mine.
Blondie Swanson.
What is he doing here?
Everything is A-okay, Doc. See, I have eight of my own, and...
It's a boy. Look.
Give us some privacy, fellas.
Sure, of course. Come on, guys. Step over here.
Here is the grip sack, Blondie. Open it. Have a look.
50 G's in small, lovely banknotes.
From what Miss Clarabelle Cobb says, her Joseph put up no little struggle for this sugar.
Yes. He is, without a doubt, the very same young guy we are compelled to truss up. As I recollect it, he wishes to battle for his employer's dough, and I personally tap him over the cocoa with the blackjack. I do not know, of course, that he is the ever-loving husband of Miss Clarabelle Cobb. I'm sorry for that, Blondie.
Well, he interferes with your business. He gives you no choice.
Also, he is by no means the guy who tips us off about the dough in the safe. As I remember it now, it is nobody but the guy whose name Miss Clarabelle Cobb mentions. It is this guy, Ambersham, the foreman of the joint.
Well, fellas, everything seems to be satisfactory.
Say it to the Dutchman.
It all comes back to me.
Mother and child are just fine.
This is good news.
But they need to rest.
Sure, they must rest now. I have eight of my own, and I delivered all but one because we could usually not afford a croaker.
See, let me speak with the doc for a minute. Can I have a word with you?
What's this about?
Dutchman, let us bid our goodbyes to Miss Clarabelle, hmm?
Well, Miss Clarabelle, you're in good hands now.
It is nice seeing you again.
Oh, nice to see you too.
I always enjoy watching you dance in the Georgie White scandals.
That was a long time ago. Things happen, don't they?
Yeah, things change. But anyway, Miss Muriel O'Neill also sees you dance, and she always says you have a large talent.
No, I never did. But it's sweet of you to say so.
I would like to ask you, is Joseph Hatcher recovered from any injuries on the night in question?
He received a bad bump on his head, but it could have been much worse.
Yes, it is lucky whoever conked him had no aim to do more harm.
Anyhow, the problem is not the bump on his head. The problem is... Oh, my poor Joseph!
Now, young lady, we won't have any of that. You just dry those eyes. We need to think about this new little boy here. You were certainly lucky these fellows showed up when they did.
I know. They're my saviors.
Well, I would not say that.
More like elves.
Yes, metaholic elves.
Whatever you say. We're going to get this boy's father back home just as soon as we can.
Will you, Doc? Can you?
Well, I now have some information that I believe my good friend Captain McCarthy will find extremely interesting. I think I can promise you we'll have Joseph out of prison within 24 hours.
Oh, Doc, thank you. It's a miracle.
Or a second chance, anyhow.
The thing is, Captain McCarthy isn't what you'd call an early riser. Certainly not on Christmas Day. It'll be 3 or 4 hours at least before I can speak to him. Plenty of time to, let us say, get to New Jersey. I hope you gents have a safe and speedy journey.
Yes, we will be on our way now, Doc. So long.
Thanks.
Blondie, we will see you outside.
And I'll be right back with Mrs. Kelton. She'll bring you a breakfast you won't soon forget. She's not so crazy about kids, but she just loves newborns.
Thank you, Doc. Blondie, would you like to hold him?
Oh, well, I...
Here.
Ah, okay.
Hold his head.
Oh, right. So, look at those tiny fingers.
Did you ever see anything so sweet?
No, I never did. Yeah. Hello, you. Well, he's a beauty. Just like his mom. Oh.
Here, I'll take him.
Yeah, yes. Here you go.
There, there, little baby. There, there. There, there, little man. I will name him for you, Blondie. By the way, what is your right name?
Olaf.
I will still name him for you.
Goodbye, Miss Clarabelle.
Merry Christmas, Blondie.
The snow has stopped and dawn is breaking on this merry morn. Our three friends are back inside the Studebaker, heading this time for the Jersey State Line with what might be called an accelerated excitement. The Dutchman is again at the wheel, Dancing Dan beside him. Blondie Swanson is in the back seat, the grip sack by his side.
I am thinking about this Ambersham, and here is what I think. He is supposed to get his bit of dough for his trouble on that night at the factory. I do not approve of his conduct toward Joseph Hatcher, but it is only fair that I carry out this agreement as the executor of the estate of my late comrade. I will take Ambersham's cut from the top, and we will split the remainder, but it will still leave us with plenty of potatoes in the grip sack.
Well, Dutchman, I tell you...
Now what?
What a night. Better pull over.
You are not serious.
Pull over.
You better hide those empties.
Where's the fire, boys? This is a very fine car. What are you guys carrying in this fine car, anyway? What's in that grip sack? Hand it over. Well, well, well. Look what we have here. Nothing but some empty bottles.
What?
Empty bottles. But I know what is formerly in these bottles.
I tell you the truth, when I say these bottles are formerly full of medicine.
Oh, wise guys, eh? Three wise guys. Trying to kid somebody, eh? I have a good mind to take you in and hold you on suspicion. It's Christmas Day, so I will be Santa Claus to you and let you go ahead. Wise guys.
Blondie?
Where's the 50 G's, Blondie? Tell me you have the 50 G's.
Well, here is the situation. This Doc Kelton strikes me as a right guy in every respect. So I leave the money with him to be returned to its rightful owners and to help clear the name of Joseph Hatcher. But I hold back 2 G's for you, Dutchman, to make good on your marker to Little Gringo.
Wise guys. Yes, this is what we are, to be sure. We are wise guys. If we are not wise guys, we will still have the grip sack full of 50 G's for the copper to find. And if the copper finds the grip sack full of 50 G's, he will wish to take us to the jailhouse for investigation. And if he wishes to take us there, I fear we will be in plenty of heat about now. And personally, I am sick and tired of heat.
So, what now, Dutchman?
Well, I make plans to head down to Florida with Merton. After I pay off Little Gringo, I will be ready to try Merton's surefire system at Hialeah.
Ah, a card from Mrs. Albright. And, oh my, a very healthy bonus indeed. Oh, dear Mrs. Albright. Ooh, a toast to Hialeah. Wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
What about you, Dancing Dan?
Well, I tell you, what with one thing and another, this looks like a good time to go straight.
Come back to bed, Heine. Relax.
I just do not like a guy pulling a fast one on me, that's all.
Come here. Let me ask you this. If the jewels from Shapiro's fine jewelry never turn up, you save the $10,000 no-questions-asked reward, right?
Right.
And the jewels are insured?
Yeah.
Does your brother-in-law have anything to worry about?
No.
Does your sister have anything to worry about?
No.
So you have nothing to worry about?
I just do not like a guy who...
Forget about Dancing Dan. He is small potatoes. You have an impressive future ahead of you, Heine. If you want to knock someone off, I'm sure we can think of a more suitable person.
Oh. Yeah. I like the way you think, Bitsy.
Good.
Then let's think some more.
Oh, yes. Oh, just like that. Baby.
Yes, Dancing Dan. Get out while you are still young and you have your ever-loving.
I and Miss Muriel O'Neill will make a fresh start with a classy dancing school in San Francisco.
San Fran?
Yes, sir. Frisco is waiting. I know the town. A dancing school with the two of us will be a sensation. The way I see it, it is now or never.
Let me propose a toast or two, even if we have no more rock candy and rye whiskey with which to toast. To Dancing Dan and his Muriel O'Neill and their new high-class dancing school on Western Shores.
To Dancing Dan!
Hey!
To the Dutchman and his new life in sunnier climes.
To the Dutchman!
To my dear Miss Clarabel Cobb and sweet little baby Olaf. Olaf!
To baby Olaf!
And last of all, to... What town are we in?
Oh, I see a name on a sign back there. Bethlehem. Bethlehem, PA.
To Bethlehem, PA.
To Bethlehem. Bethlehem!
And so, the car holding our three guys rumbles east toward the rising sun. But wait, what do we have here? Why, at this very moment, in a tiny bedroom back in Manhattan, Gamma O'Neill is waking up. She sees her Christmas stocking hung on a chair at the foot of her bed. But this stocking is not filled with a few humble gifts of a domestic nature. This stocking is filled with glittering diamond necklaces and bracelets. And on the chair sit several boxes overflowing with bejeweled brooches and rings of silver and gold. It is indeed a Christmas miracle. Though the boxes are, of course, emblazoned with the name Shapiro's Fine Jewelry.
Santa! Oh, honey! You come through!
And with that, Gamma O'Neill grabs her heart in rapture, falls back on her pillow, and in complete and utter joy, expires in a blaze of white light. Merry Christmas to one and all.
End of episode 3. Thank you for listening to Three Wise Guys by Scott Allen Evans and Jeffrey Couchman, presented by Hear Play Audio Theatre. Hear Play offers its work free of charge, but if you can make a donation of any amount, we'd be most grateful. All proceeds go to pay our talented company of artists for their time and artistry. To learn more about our work and to join us with a contribution, please visit our website, www.hearplayaudiotheatre.com. Three Wise Guys cast includes Nora Chester, Joel De La Fuente, Jeffrey C. Hawkins, Carl Kensler, Jack Koenig, Victoria Mack, Ron McClary, John Plumpus, Jasmine Rush, and Dana Smith-Kroll. Stephen French is our narrator. The original music is by Joseph Trapanese. Produced, engineered, and sound designed by Daryl Bornstein. It was produced and directed by Scott Allen Evans. Thank you for listening and your support. I'm Simon Jones.